Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice or shut up. Hallelujah. That's plain and simple, huh? If you ain't got nothing good to say, shut up. Glory. Psalm 140. We don't play, man. We ain't got time for games. Psalm 140. You know, when in your morning time with the Lord, as you're praying and interceding and so forth, God is always releasing something to us in an area where he says, listen. And sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes he says, get it in today. And he'll give you a psalm. He'll give you a scripture or something. Usually it's a psalm in the area. I know for myself, he'll usually give me a psalm. Because the psalm is a specific, perfect prayer that he has. Wouldn't you rather pray his prayers than your own? That's why we pray in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes while you're praying in the Spirit, actually the psalm is the interpretation of what you've been praying. But he wants you to pray in English so it comforts your carnal mind. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with praying in tongues all the time, but there are people who can get goofy and granolish because they're not taking dominion over their carnal mind. And then he brought it back to me this morning in the area, and he expounded more on it. So I'm going to go to Psalm 140, and let's read this together. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from what? Evil men, preserve me from violent men. Now, the Lord had given me this psalm prior to going into a strange meeting that I went into. And it was a very strange meeting. But and that's all it was. It was an accusing meeting, and it was quite interesting because the Lord had given me this psalm the day before. And so one of the things that he says, deliver me from evil men and preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for what? War. They're always, it's called, that word right there is called conflict. Conflict. How many of y'all know that you got continuous conflicts? Amen? There's continuous conflicts. And I want to share with you, even when you're at peace, okay, even when you're at peace, there's still continuous conflicts around you. One of the things you don't want that to do is to spread on you. You know, you put make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, well, you don't want a conflict sandwich. What you don't want to do is eat the conflict or be a part of it. So many times you've got to shrug things, you've got to push things away, or you've got to hold your tongue. Because many times that the enemy, and that's what Jesus did before Pilate, was he held his tongue. Because there was many things he could say. He held his tongue because he knew that whatever he said would be twisted. And I knew that in this meeting I was in, no matter what I said, would be twisted. And it was very powerful to me. He says in verse 3, what does he say? They sharpen their tongues like a serpent, and the poison of asps is under their lips. And that's all I heard. That's all I saw. And in this, you got to remember that this continuous conflict that is around you and also can be in you. Hello. And it's because the voice of the stranger that is always trying to cause confliction within you and around you. One of the things that's important that, in other words, there's an opportunity when you can change the environment or the atmosphere around you, and there's times when you can't. That's why he says, hold your tongue, I will make a way of escape for you. Are you listening? But many times when people get in conflicts, they want to prove themselves, and that's all they do is put wood on the fire and make idiots of themselves, or they get in the flesh. And I'm not saying that that's not an easy thing to constantly maintain. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're maintaining the anointing, you're going to take dominion. And I'm not saying taking dominion over the other people or what you're going to take dominion first over your flesh and over yourself. Because if you can't take dominion over your flesh and over yourself, you're going to get caught up in the conflict. Now, there may be things that, you know, so many times we have this tendency because the flesh and the self, pride, always wants to prove itself. The self-righteousness wants to prove itself. And Jesus, you see, this is where Jesus said, be like me. And in this conflicts that we are in, there's a time when you just shut up. I mean, there's a few words, I know in my meeting, there was a few words I said, that's a lie. That's not true. And the only thing you speak of is secular. Of course, they couldn't understand my language anyway, so there was no sense of going any further. Hello. In verse 4, it says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. See, that's the conflict that's all around you. They're trying to get you to stumble. Your circumstances, everything that's around you is trying to get you to stumble because the powers of darkness have sharp tongues. They have poison. And if you allow them to bite you, you will take in that poison and it will affect you. They purpose to cause your steps to stumble. In verse 5, it says, the proud have hidden a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. That's a continuous conflict around you that is trying to cause you to stumble. See, let me share something that's vitally important. When people get in struggles and stuff, they have a tendency to try to prove themselves out. Or they try to run, but they run into the hands of the enemy instead of the hands of God. See, when a conflict comes, what happens is multiple doors open, and only one door is of the Lord. The rest of the doors are the enemy. So you may have multiple choices, but the only one door is the correct door because there's only one truth and there's only one way. So in these conflicts, these continuous, and again, these are continuous conflicts. They're around you. You are going to be challenged. All kinds of things are going to be happening. Listen, why? Because you're not of this world, and the purpose of the enemy is to get you of the world. Hallelujah. In verse 6, I said to the Lord, you are my God. So who was his source? The Lord. See, what he did is he turned. He said, listen, you know what? This is what's happening all around me. This is a tough circumstance. But there's something that's vitally important. Lord, you're my God. In other words, I'm not going to lose sight. I'm not going to lose focus. You're my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Read it with me. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Was he in the battle? Amen. There was a conflict going around. There's battles going on all the time. That's what a conflict is. But see, one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you in all the battles when there's only the ones that God says you're to be in. So if you're a busybody, you're in everybody's battle. Verse 8. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Oh, hallelujah. There's many times, I'll be talking to someone, and that's all they're doing is shooting off at the mouth, and I see their lips grow. And I can watch their lips actually get so big they blind them. I'm like, your lips are blinding you. Did you ever see a fish, the blowfish? They got blow lips. And it blinds them. Verse 10. Let the burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slander be established in the earth. Let evil hunt a violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Yes. So the continuous conflicts that are around us, even when you are at peace, the conflict is still around you. Does everybody understand that? And the purpose is to get you to stumble. It's to get you out of position. It's to get you into the place of fear. It's to get you into trying to do it in your own strength, under your own understanding. It's a, one of the things is it's to get you out of the presence of God. And you're either in the presence of God or in the presence of evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. Would you read it with me? Therefore we do not what? Lose heart. Be discouraged. Be discouraged. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it seems like a while, it's actually working for us. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, when you're in a position where you are being accused, humiliated, whatever it may be, because somebody doesn't know you. I was in a meeting like that. I didn't go in there as pastor guy. I went in there as guy. I didn't use my authority. My office. I was humiliated. I was accused. I was discouraged. But I looked back and I looked to the Lord. And I realized that everything was being said. If I was to say anything, it would have just been twisted. And I looked to the Lord and I said, Lord, you know. And that's all I needed to do is, Lord, you know, they don't know me. They don't know me at all. They have assumed who I am, what this ministry is about, because of they've heard rumors of that people have left or couldn't make it or couldn't complete. Even wondered if I was a Christian. But I took my humiliation and I stepped back and I said, Lord, what can I learn from this? And how can I grow from this? And I realized that that's what happens when you seek secularism. But I was in a meeting that proclaimed to be believers. But their whole focus was secularism. And I can't say that I wasn't discouraged because I was. And I knew that I couldn't say anything because it wouldn't matter. And you know, and I left there in the area. Thank God I didn't have a tail or it had been between my legs. But I left there looking to the Lord in an amazement of what is to come. And that's all I could see was, my God, is this what's getting ready to happen? This is what's getting ready to happen of our own brothers and sisters, where the conflict will be amongst ourselves because the secularism is still involved in an individual's life. Does everybody got it? And what I mean is they're still too involved in the world system and the ways of the world. They could not understand the ministry and what we do. They wanted to know about the individuals who were qualified psychologists like and drug addicted professionals, and I wasn't even going to go there. It was senseless because they can only have one view. And what the first thing that came to me is the Lord says, they won't understand your language. So I said, okay, I'll just shut up. But I felt like I was being crucified. And that's okay. Because for me, it was a learning experience. I was a little frustrated, a little angry. I wanted to, there was times when I was going to just slap the table and stand up and rebuke them. But then I saw it all the way through. And I realized it would have just added more wood on the fire, would have brought more shame to the name of the Lord, and it would have brought more of a label on what we do already. You know, there was something very powerful in one of the meetings that we were at, and there was a word that was brought over myself and this ministry, and it says that they don't understand us. And they don't. And you're not going to be understood when you're a front line in the battle. You're not going to be understood in the areas where, because of the counsel of the Lord is totally different than the counsel of the world. And the wisdom of God cannot compare with the wisdom of the world, but they are caught up in the wisdom of the world. And in this, I had to step back and I realized that it's not them. It's just the demonic forces that are utilizing them because of what they're attached to, caught up in, and getting fed from. And verse 18, it says this. Let's go to verse 17 again. For our light affliction, well, let me tell you, it didn't feel too light. Which was but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Thank God. While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They are eternal. So I, in other words, one of the things that I had to do, see, these continuous conflicts, we must not lose sight or focus. Does everybody get it? We must not lose sight. There were words spoken over me, and one of the words that said, nobody will ever help you. Nobody will ever help you. I thought, my God, that's a voice of the stranger. And it's unfortunately, this person is claiming to be one of my brethren. Isn't my brethren. Because there was no respect or honor at all. Nobody will ever help you. That's right, nobody's gonna, but my God will. Nobody's ever helped us yet. My God helps us. Everything comes from the Lord, amen? Whether he uses somebody or not, it still comes from the Lord. So in this, we cannot lose sight or focus. We must maintain our priorities. Because what the enemy tries to do is he tries to cause you to get caught in this conflict where a lack will come in an area. Then you try to go after fulfillment of replacing the lack and you begin to lose focus. Listen, we must maintain the priorities, and your priorities are your call, your purpose, and your destiny. No matter what's in place in your life, you are still called to battle. These must maintain priority. Battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Your destiny is to infiltrate the world system. With the talents and abilities God's given you to rescue those who are lost. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to go out and feed, clothe, and shelter. But it's a bummer if they die, fed, clothed, and sheltered, and go to hell. So the world system, the secular system, pats themselves on the back going, we're proud of ourselves because we built shelters, because we feed the hungry, because we do this. But they're not declaring the truth. Hey, there's a lot of secular programs out there that are very successful in feeding, clothing, and sheltering. But they're not very successful in getting someone eternally home. You have spiritual enemies in this conflict. You have spiritual enemies in a physical world. You have spiritual enemies in a physical world. The conflict that is around you. It is a continuous conflict. And Psalm 25. Again, the enemy wants to cause you to lose focus or sight, vision of your call, your purpose, and your destiny. Psalm 25. Verse 12. Let's see. Let's start at verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All paths of the Lord are what? Mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him he what? He shall teach the way he what? He chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who what? In other words, reverence, respect, and honor him. And he will show them his what? Covenant, because you must be a covenant keeper. Right now it is important to maintain covenant all the way home. Why? Because a covenant keeper who has the blood of the covenant of Christ. Remember, the Father acknowledges the blood and the demons acknowledge the anointing. Verse 15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged and bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive my all of my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are what? How many? Many. They what? They hate me with cruel hatred. You got to understand that these enemies that you don't see, even though sometimes you see them manifest in the physical or through a person, they hate you because of what you represent. They are cruel and they are many. Verse 20. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my what? Trust in you. Let what? Integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. In other words, you want to maintain the integrity even when all of these conflicts are around you. The enemies are many, and they hate with a cruel hatred. Psalm 38. Verse 9. Would you read it with me? Psalm 38, verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before you. In other words, you're not holding or hiding anything. Lord, here it is. And if there's a desire that's not right and you can't shake it, you give it to him. Lord, you see this desire, and I know it's not right. I shouldn't have this desire. So, Lord, here it is. Take it, sever it, and loose me from the emotional attachment from it. And command that emotional attachment spirit to leave, because the emotional attachments are desires. And my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has what? Gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Do you notice that when you're in oppression, discouragement, loneliness, taken captive by the enemy, this is one of the things that the enemy begins to tell you. He begins to tell you that nobody cares. He begins to tell you that you're alone, you're the only one. He begins to tell you that people are staying. You know, he begins to tell you certain things that even though that people are trying to stretch their hand out, you can't see it. Even though people are trying to say, listen, man, it's going to work to the good. We love you. They can't see it because they've been taken captive. They've allowed the continuous conflict that's around them to come in them. And verse 12. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of what? Destruction and plan what? Deception all day long. Listen, they are many. They hate you. And they plan deception. They're trying to get you caught in a deceptive arena, on a delusion, on an area where you are seeing things that is not of God, a false perception. Has everybody got it? Where you take on something now that is the voice of a stranger and you've agreed with it, but it's not the voice of God. It's not what God says. It's not what the Lord says. It's not what the Lord promises. It's what the world promises. And it's going to promote fear, rejection, oppression, and bondage. In verse 19, read it with me. But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are what? My adversaries. Because I follow what is good. In other words, because you're doing the things that are right before God, the world won't understand what you're doing, and they will try to cause you to stumble and bring conflicts to you. The voice of the enemy is looking at them and moving through them to get to you. Has everybody got it? What does he finally say? Lord, don't forsake me. Oh, my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, oh, Lord, my salvation. Does everybody get it? So please grab hold of this, that the enemy is planning a deception for you. He is trying to get you to grab hold of something, an agreement that is not of God. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. You know, one of the things that we might call retaliate. In other words, we come back. When the enemy brings to you something, you must respond according to the will of God, the voice of God. In verse 14, look at this. Read it with me. Oh, God, the proud have risen against me, right? 86:14. The proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my what? My life. and have not set you what? So understand that these individuals were believers. Because he would not say that the Lord, they've not set the Lord before you if they weren't believers. Because then they wouldn't know anything about setting the Lord before them. So he says, look, these are proud individuals. These are proud believers, self-righteous believers. They have not set you, Lord, before them, or they wouldn't be doing these things that they're doing. But you, O Lord, are my God, our God, full of what? Compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Does everybody see this? So what he did is he turned what the enemy was trying to bring him into bondage. He turned it around and said, Lord, you're my God. You're my strength. Lord, don't let me be ashamed in this. Don't put a guard over my mouth, over my eyes and heart. Don't let me react, but let me respond according to what you say, that they may be ashamed of what they've done to you. Because if they did it to your servant, they've done it to you. Amen? Oh, glory. And the reason he said, Lord, they've not put you before them because they lost the fear of God. This is where the Bible says, and they speak evil of dignitaries because they've lost the fear and the reverence of God. They've gotten caught up in the deception of the world system. They are now brought into bondage of survival. They are brought into bondage to build their own empire. They've brought into bondage in the area of they become servants to money. They become servants to pride. They become servants to success. They become servants to the world and don't even know it. Don't even know it. And now they exchange the presence of God for the presence of evil because their flesh is being fed. Self is being fed. Do you know, did you ever realize that when you're out there working and you build something, there's a good sense that you completed it, isn't there? But you should never allow that good sense that you've completed it promote pride. You allow that good sense to bring glory to God. Amen? To bring glory to God. Never. We've had people come out and look at the ministry and say, man, what a great job you're doing. We say, no. No, we're not doing it. To God be the glory. No, no, no. You've taken. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. And let me tell you, when people try to bring me into conflict with it, I know they're secular, even though they say they're believers. They're deceived. They're caught in a deception because they don't understand. I mean, it's good to encourage people, but the enemy always tries to promote pride. That's his job. Because if he can promote pride, it nullifies the fear of God. Well, I'll do it my way, and I'm going to do it when I want to do it. I'm going to do it how I want to do it, and I'm going to give God glory. Oh, no, you're not. Because you had too many eyes before him. Psalm 94. Verse 20. Now let's start at 16. Is everybody there? Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the what? Evildoers. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the what? Righteous, and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Wow. So we see here that the wicked take counsel against the righteous because they are self-righteous. Psalm 119, 118. Continuous conflicts. Everybody okay? In verse 10. Let's read it together. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy it. In other words, he means all ethnics, all types of individuals. They surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will what? Destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. Like what? The voice of the stranger is like bees. Yeah. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will what? Destroy them. Listen, look at this. You push me violently that I what? Might fall. But the Lord what? Help me. Listen, the devil always pushes. And the spirit always leads. When you sense push, anxiousness, I got to do. The only thing you got to do is run to the throne room of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's grabbing you by the tail. And throwing you in the throne room of God so your tail disappears. So there's that time when the devil, he always pushes you. You know, God may say something, and then the devil pushes you to do it so you get out of God's time. There may be a desire that's implanted, but then the devil comes and pushes you and says, do it now, do it now. Why? Because he wants to promote fear that you might miss. Do it now. Verse 14. And he says, the Lord is my strength and what? Song. And he has become my salvation. Why does he say song? Because the song of the Lord is what's going to bring you strength. See, without getting in God's presence, people rely more on their own strength instead of the strength of the Lord. So the devil pushes and the Holy Spirit leads. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Glory. Did I say Psalm 140? Wow, that's pretty wild. I want to say this again then. Psalm 140. Verse 4. What does it say? Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men who have purpose to make my what? Now, we talked about this already, didn't we? But in this, you got to remember that the purpose is to get you out of position. The devil wants to get you out of position and to speak out of time. To get you out of position and to speak out of time. To get you out of position, to speak out of time, and to do out of time. Get you out of position, speak out of time and do out of time. 1 Corinthians 16. Anybody ever done that? Did it cause you trouble? Whoops. Thank God he's merciful, huh? Then you can run it. But the whole thing is recognizing this. Uh-oh. Man, that wasn't right. Okay, Lord. Repent. Repent. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13. 16:13. Let's read this together. What's the word? First word? Watch. And that's not the watch on your wrist. Hello? Remember, the enemy, the conflicts are to try to get you to lose focus and sight. So if you're truly watching, you're going to see things through. You're going to see. So you and I must watch and what? Stand fast in the faith. Why? Because faith is spiritual sight. Be what? Brave. And what? Be strong. Let all that you do be done with what? Love. You know, when you do things out of time, it's not done in love. It's done out of self. When you do things out of God's time, it's done out of self. Stand fast in the faith. Amen. Be brave and be strong. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Continuous conflicts. If you think this message is for you, it is. If you don't think it's for you, it is. First Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, a simple verse 8. Let's roll it. Be what? Be sober. Okay, be sober. Let's see. What's sober mean? It means that you must, let's see. Well, the opposite of sober is drunk. Impaired. Delusional. Ungodly influence. Dumb. That's why they call it dope. That's why they call drugs dope, because you get stupid. So if you're not sober, you're everything else. So sober means to watch, to see, to pay attention. It says, be what? Sober. Be what? Vigilant, mean continuous. Steadfast. Because you ever see the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. In other words, there are continuous conflicts. Continuous conflicts. And I got another message for you. Look at verse 9. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody. No, you're not the only one. It just doesn't happen to you. Everybody in the whole world has conflicts around them, and it's our job and responsibility to be sober, vigilant, steadfast, and make sure we don't get caught up in these things. Being discerned in the area where if these desires begin to come, you know that it's not God's time and it's not God's will. You must sever yourself from those emotional attachments because it will cause conflict and it'll put you in a place of bondage. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles in verse 16. I need to go there. I mean, chapter 16. Did I say verse 16? Chapter 16. And verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Verse 9, let's read this together. For the eyes, is everybody there? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So understand that your continuous conflicts that are around you, God is checking you out too. Are you loyal to me? Are you loyal to my covenant? Are you loyal to what I say? Are you loyal to me? Do you believe what I tell you? Look at what it is. He says, in this you have done foolishly. You've done foolishly. Why? Because you weren't loyal. He said, now look at, therefore from now on you shall what? In other words, you will always be in a conflict, even though that they're around you now, you're always in them. So everybody got it? You'll always have a conflict. Why? Because your heart is not loyal. You lose battles, or you go into induced demonic coma. Induced demonic coma. Man, you get so much in a conflict. And you don't know what to do. But the hand of God is right there. Remember, he's looking for loyalty. Because you are royalty to him. But he's looking for loyalty. He's checking to see what your desires are, what your motive is. He's looking to see if you're sold out, if you're his. You know, it doesn't mean, even though you're not, you're going to go through stuff, amen? Well, that's to strengthen you. When you go to the gym and you work out, that's a conflict. Your conflict is with the exercise machines. When you play a sport or whatever, your conflict. It's usually with yourself, but hallelujah. But understand these are all, it tells us that it's working an eternal weight for us, isn't it? So you're going to have conflicts, but you don't want to get caught into them. Has everybody got it? Because there's a continuous conflict all around you. You must be directed by what battles God is sending you. In other words, there are certain battles that you're to battle and the rest God's going to battle. The problem is people are battling so many conflicts that God hasn't called them to do that. And why are they already coming? Because the heart isn't loyal. And the other thing is they're not staying in God's presence. That's why, again, you must be steadfast. And you must continue, you must be connected with him and his presence. Anybody have a good time Friday night? Did you get refreshed and empowered? Did God make himself real to you? Amen. You were under the anointing. You caught the anointing. You carry the anointing. But one of the things the devil wants to do is disqualify your anointing. Because you're carrying the presence of God. And you know, when you're in the world, it's like you get drained eventually, you know. It's like a battery that begins to run out and needs to be replaced. You know the ever-ready battery? You know, the one with the little rabbit. And it beats the drum. Well, he's actually praising God. That's why he lasts for so long. Because he's getting recharged all the time. That's why it's called a song of deliverance, because the presence of God shows up, and when he shows up, slam the enemy. Again, People go in this induced demonic coma. Duh. It's like, is anybody in there? The light's on, but nobody's home. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Praise you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. What's it say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Right? So, in these continuous conflicts that are around us, we must maintain the presence of God. So, if you're joyful no matter what's going on, it's because you're carrying God's presence. Now, the enemy's always going to try to drain you. He's going to try to steal from you. He's going to try, remember the Bible says he comes out to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So, he's going to try to get you drunk with delusion and deception. And that's where we got to be sober and vigilant, consistent, steadfast. And that can only be maintained by maintaining the presence of God. Everything of your Christian walk, as Christ-like as a Christian, it is established by the presence of Christ. Has everybody got it? Psalm 16. Everybody there? Everybody okay? You know what? You should always sense the conflicts around you. You should always be able to sense the conflicts that are around you so that you're sensitive enough and discerning enough of which ones you're supposed to battle. Now, there is a simple way. You call destructive fire down all around you. I do it every day. When I begin to sense things and I'm like, wait a minute, there's too much stuff going on. Father, I call destructive fire down upon all the powers of darkness right now in the name of Jesus. I call destructive fire down on every power of darkness that will come against my prayer, supplication, and request. It's my given inherited right because I have dominion, power, and authority. I've inherited it. Does it mean I'm not going to have a conflict? No, God allows certain conflicts to train you. But then you don't want the multiple conflicts that the enemy's trying to inflict on you. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God, my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sour shall be multiplied who have hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in the pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Let me tell you, there's just times when you got to get counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be. Wait a minute. He's saying, look it, I'm always setting the Lord before me. See, when you lose the fear of God, the Lord isn't before you. When you lose the presence of God, you lose the fear of God, and the Lord is not before you. Now you're trying to get out of this battle by yourself. In fact, I've seen people, which is kind of hilarious sometimes, they're in the flesh, completely in the flesh, trying to quote Scripture. Now let me share you something. When you're in the flesh quoting scripture, you're grabbing a bag and you're putting a hand on a bag of seeds and you're throwing them at the devil. Oh! It is not the sword of the Spirit. And the devil doesn't get moved by seeds. He gets moved by the sword of the Spirit. That's why you have to get in position first. Hello. Then you take your authority. You get out of the flesh, get in the Spirit. Then you pull out the sword of the Spirit. Has everybody got it? That's why Jesus didn't go out and get in conflicts with the devil, did he? Until when? He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so it says that he learned through his sufferings as a child. And so in this, you, when you're in the flesh, you start quoting scripture. Hello? Now, God knows that when you first get saved and born again and so forth, and you're maintaining quotations of the scriptures. Amen? He knows that. That's why when you get up and you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you praise and worship the Lord, Lord, I thank you. What are you doing? You're bringing God's presence. When his presence comes, you're in the Spirit. Amen? You're not losing focus. Your focus is on him. Then you start quoting scripture, and it's a sword of the Spirit. But when you're in the flesh, that's all you're doing is putting your hand in a bag of seeds and throwing them. And I've seen so many people trying to fight in the flesh. And you can't fight in the flesh. You fight in the Spirit. But you first must get in the Spirit before you can fight in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Or you go in that induced demonic coma where your mouth is babbling and your eyes are rolling. Hello. Praise you, Lord. I have. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in what? Hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, which is hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Come on, say it with me. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So again, in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And listen, that's why it's, again, important to get counsel. The Lord must maintain be before you. If his presence isn't there, you lose the fear of the Lord, and he's not before you. That's why it takes worship. It takes praise. It is the key to overcome the enemy. Because, listen, there is an area where, you know, there's times when our conflicts get so great that we're trying to survive. And that survival, you go to worship. Because what happens is that survival turns into surrender. Survival keeps you in the flesh. Surrender will bring you into spirit. It will bring you into spirit. Okay, Lord, I surrender. Why? You're acknowledging him. Father, fill me. Man, you see me in the flesh. Pull me out quick so I can use the Holy Ghost bazooka. Then you take dominion. That's why it takes praise and worship and maintaining the presence of God. That's what separates us from the world. That's what separates us from secularism. That's what separates a believer from the carnal arena and the realm of the Spirit. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and we'll close here. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 58 and verse 6. You know, people go on fast, and that's a wonderful thing, to fast. And fast is, that word itself in scripture is associated with separation. It's associated with crucifying your flesh. It's associated with mortifying your soul or your flesh. In other words, because you're not doing the things that you want to do in the area of fulfillment of the flesh and so forth. It is separation. And it says here, he says, because they went on a fast and they put sackcloth and ashes and they stopped eating certain foods and whatever. And that's okay, because certain foods will cause you to be clouded. That's why it's good to eat certain foods. And if you'll maintain that certain foods and healthy eating, you're on a permanent fast. But for someone to eat candy bars, eat all kinds of stuff all week long, then choose to go on a fast once a week, you know, I mean, that's okay, but why not just be on a permanent one and stop eating the stuff? And then what you do is every once in a while, you can treat yourself to a candy bar or whatever, but you're actually fasting from them. You're fasting from foods that are affecting you. You're fasting from sodas. You're fasting from things that are can cause you damage. You're fasting from things that will cause you cloudiness. You're fasting from programs that will promote certain things in you. You're fasting. Now, certain things need to be permanent, like secular music, pornography, things of that degree. Those are permanent. In verse 6, he says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your what? To share your what? Bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Maybe your healing isn't manifested because you're still eating poop. Hello? You know, people are wondering, what's going on with my healing? Well, God should be able to just heal me. Well, stop eating the garbage. Stop listening to garbage. Stop watching the garbage. Stop doing certain things. Hello? Stop having 14 cups of coffee and then tell people you have the anointing. That's not the anointing. That's a buzz from caffeine. I was in the house one time in a meeting, and the place was cooking, man. And Mom was there. I'm like, man, it's hot in here. Somebody needs to turn the AC on. And the person that was getting ready to share said, can you feel the anointing? It's so hot in here. I'm like, man, somebody open a vent. That is not the anointing. Gosh. Granola. Nutty and fruity. Verse 8 again. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall break forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your what? Rear guard. How many of y'all will be backed by the glory of God? Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the what? Noonday. The Lord will guide you when? Continually. And satisfy your soul in drought. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you You shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in them. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call a Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. In other words, the Sabbath is association with, we are constantly in the Sabbath with the, it means rest. You are resting in the Lord. But there is an area where we gather together and we worship. Why? To get the increase of the anointing. And what he's saying, if you'll stop neglecting the Sabbath and the area of gathering together because he requires that we assemble, then he will release these blessings. But when you begin to stop and you neglect the fellowship, you neglect coming together, you neglect the honor and respect in that area of praise and worship, then these things will not be brought to you. And you will have to do it in your own strength. He said, verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to what? Ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, in this is going to take denial of self. Take care of those who are in need. Maintain the Sabbath, acknowledge, honor, worship, respect, and seek his presence. Amen? And seek his presence. Why? Because there is continuous conflicts all around you. And the only way to overcome them is with the anointing of Christ. It's the anointing. Everything is about the anointing. His presence, his joy. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And there are treasures at his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands to heaven and thank him. Lord, we just thank you. We just love you. We thank you for the truth. For in your presence is where we belong. In your presence is where our peace is. In your presence are the treasures. In your presence. In your presence. Come on, tell them. In your presence. In your presence is where we belong. Put that song on. In your presence. In your presence. We love you. We exalt you. Holy and true is the King of Glory. Holy and true is the great I Am. Holy and true. Holy and true.